Hello and welcome to today's edition of the After the Five. It is May 18th. I'm of course joined as always by Ann Mazinga and Carter Jensen. We're going to break down the top news stories of the week. The news happened fast and furious this week, and we're going to do it in a rapid fire style segment. So to start us off, Amazon. Amazon announced this week that they are going to open two more Go stores in the cities of San Francisco and Chicago. All right, so my question for you guys is, it's going to be a little bit different this week. Is Amazon Go, in your minds, more like the Amazon Kindle 5 years from now? Or more like the Amazon Fire Phone 5 years from now?
So dead on arrival or the next big thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I love it. I think this is great. I mean, you have been able to be there in person. I think the analysis last week was perfect. Mm-hmm. I love the fact
that... Which is also an app on my phone, by the way.
Just if you happen to listen to the
Who's more millennial this week? Yeah.
Chris is still bitter that he lost.
Yes,
I think the point is that it's really cool that they're looking to different locations to expand this, especially Chicago is really interesting. You mentioned some of the things with Walgreens there. And then San Fran, I think, is just a logical spot to go. I think the demographics there are perfect for it, and I can't wait to see how they expand and put it into kind of some different footprints. It'll be cool.
Yeah, I agree.
You guys are both are okay.
Yeah.
Amazon Kindle.
I mean, everybody's been waiting for this moment, right? We wanted to see where they're going to go to, if they're going to expand. I mean, and they've done it again, put out a press release with no end date particularly mentioned. But it's a great spot. And the potential for disruption of Walgreens is going to be really fantastic.
Oh, yeah. You think that Walgreens
I mean, Chicago, that's going to just... there's a Walgreens and CVS and, you know, Dwayne Reed on every corner. And once Amazon gets into that market, which is just inevitable, man, it's over.
Yeah, it's going to be, I love that point you just made. Like, when I was, I'm all in on this now, having gone there last week. It is such a cool experience. And like your point, if I have to choose between standing in line in a disgusting Dwayne Reed, CVS, which is equally disgusting, and Walgreens on the same city corner, and I can just walk into Amazon... Yeah, every day.
But you're saying, though, Sunday. In the Fast Five, you mentioned, you know, we'll just decimate that world, and then, you know, Jeff will just come in and buy
maybe,
Walgreens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get in the pharmacy business somehow that way. Or buy those assets. Who knows?
But, right.
Okay, so you guys are big in on that one.
Yeah.
All right, so you're definitely buying into that. Okay. All right, second question. The big announcement this week, this one was really cool. Kroger has purchased a stake in Ocado. And for those of you unfamiliar, Ocado is the direct-to-consumer online grocery retailer out of the UK. And essentially what Kroger's buying here is their automated fulfillment technology and the license to bring that to the United States. So question for you here, are you buying or selling this move for Kroger?
Buying a million times over.
You
I'm so excited. I cannot wait. And for those of you unfamiliar with Ocado, like, it's not long. You're going to be very familiar. Even my father-in-law, who has no other reason to pay attention to what's going on in retail. Larry.
Hey, Larry.
But to watch this, because I'm on it, has sent me the video of the Ocado warehouse, because they are fascinating. I mean, it is amazing. I cannot wait.
Cool.
And this enables, you know, Kroger to now put 20 of these distribution centers around the country. It is going to change things so dramatically. I cannot wait. I'm so excited.
Wow,
about
you are
it.
Pumped.
Yeah.
Well, it's been
Carter,
it's been fascinating
are you,
to hear.
Are you pumped?
Well,
grocery distribution.
Yeah,
obviously.
I'll be the first to say I do not know as much about it, but it's been fun to hear from the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, since Shop Talk.
Yeah, since Shop Talk, all the things about Ocado and how fired up you two have been about the whole thing. And I think from Anne's enthusiasm, I have no choice but to jump on this train. I think it's incredible. I can't wait to see how they continue to expand it here in the U.S. And the 20 new distribution centers you mentioned, I think we're really cool.
Yeah, and our boy Britton Ladd called this one too. I mean, that guy's on a freaking roll. So I'm with you guys. I don't think I can add anything on this. That was incredibly exuberant. So yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, the next one. I got a little fun with this one. I got a little creative. So lots of earnings announcements this week. Macy's far exceeded their expectations from an earnings perspective, coming off poor performance in the last quarter. And then Walmart actually met expectations too, coming off poor performance and actually having stronger growth on the digital side of the business. Now, I ask you, are you ready to say that either Macy's or Walmart are out of the woods, or are they still in the woods? And if anyone sings Sondheim, I am going to walk out the door.
Well, I think the first thing
is... Random illusion, but anyway...
you said this in the Fast Five as well. Earning report after earning report after earning report is just endless. And what do we make of them? And they're so loaded. And we get some numbers. And at the end of the day, interpreting what that actually means without a ton of asterisks next to it is really hard. So I don't think I'm in a position to say they're out of the woods because they may have had a okay earnings call. Yeah. I am in no way a financial analyst to be able to dive into that. So I will not say that they're out of the woods. I don't think it's necessarily that amazing. I guess I'm waiting to see some real results from some of the companies instead of a conference call.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, the conference call is essentially a presentation to say exactly what they need to say, right? Mm-hmm. Like the earnings reports come out, they're public, everybody sees them, but then like it's still going to be like the proof's in the pudding for me, right? Like I want to see what Macy's does with Rachel and Story coming in. You have other lame excuses like Home Depot didn't do well because spring was late. Like, right, you can tell any story. This is like, it reminds me of like my old news days where it was like, how do you want to shape this story? Here's the information you have. You can go one of two ways. And it just feels like a lot of excuses or reasons that, we have, each of those companies has a lot of exciting things going on. So I think that will really give the clearest picture of what their future looks like.
Yeah, and it's a great point. That's why I love doing this because I was talking to somebody today. What I really like about this segment is like we do the Fast Five, give my opinion, but then you guys jump in and either reshape that opinion or form it. And I think it's always good to hear that. And like, I wish we could come up with some way to reform this process. So whoever's listening or watching out there, whether you're in the financial industry or maybe leader in a retail organization or retail association, how do we fix this? Like I read the earnings reports again. Like with Macy, you don't know anything about their store side business. It's all total level performance. So you really don't understand how things are going below the covers. They're talking about AR and VR having an impact on their basket size, where they've deployed that. And what does that even mean? Like the four people that used it, or like, are there a lot of people? There's no other statistics to tell you anything about that, except that it sounds like the latest PR release that's made about every other technology usage in any company. And like, that stuff's just misleading and confusing. And sorry, I'm going to stop, but like, we've got to figure out how to fix that or just not pay attention to it.
Or just be like Elon Musk on a conference call at this last earnings. Just go completely off the cuff.
Right. Yeah. Start talking about Flufferbots. Yeah. That was my favorite all-time quote. You look it up. I'm not going to explain it. All right. Now, this is my favorite question. All right. Number four. So I was kind of pissed about this week, quite frankly, because I've been talking about it a lot. And they only, I think, only stuck with it for about 9 months. But Walmart canceled their Scan & Go testing program, saying that customers were leery of the technology. So I'm going to ask you. So is this a move by Walmart that is, now Carter, this might be hard for you.
Okay, here we go.
I will explain it. Is this a move that's like canceling Cagney and Lacey? Or is this a move that's like canceling the show that they try to stick between Seinfeld and ER every single season?
None of the shows register with me this time, so you'll have to explain.
So the explanation would be Cagney and Lacey, for those of you out there that aren't old enough to remember, they actually canceled that show at one point, and all of the fans wrote in and said, please bring it back. And they did. Whereas the shows that were sandwiched between Seinfeld and ER, they always sucked. It was like Jonathan Silverman and the Single Guy or whatever it was, or whatever his name was. And no one cared. They were terrible. They just like were this bridge show. And so they got rid of them and they brought them back. So I am curious, from your perspectives, Scan & Go. I know I'm a big fan of it, and I'm curious what you guys think. But is it something that will rear its ugly head at Walmart again in a different way? Or is it just something that's going to go away and Amazon Go is going to become the future? Something else.
I mean, you talked about it in the Fast Five, and I want to reference the point there, but you know, the reason they're saying they're stopping this is because customers weren't trying it or didn't like it, right? Yeah. But isn't, and I come from maybe a less of a rooted background maybe than you two, but isn't the whole point of a lot of these initiatives from Walmart to get the new customer or to acquire new types of customers to come into your store and really kind of get the people who are used to purchasing something within 3 hours on an Amazon app. Mm-hmm. And I get if they're going to put a stop to it to try something new, but why won't you just continue to evolve the program into something that is more closely aligned with what you actually want to do instead of simply putting a stop to it? Now we have this thing that we're talking about where Walmart looks like they got cold feet and canceled a program that could evolve into something that would be actually cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even just for the sake of learning.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Third time's a charm, right?
Right.
They're going to have to do it again. I think for me, what's so upsetting about this too is that they're reverting back to like the a la Apple store where you find an associate and you go to them to pay. I mean, nothing against Walmart, but your associates are not the same associates that are working at an Apple store. There's not 25 highly educated Apple store employees that are walking around in every department. Like, can you imagine trying to find somebody in a Walmart store to check you out?
You're lucky if you find anybody, right?
Right.
Like, even regardless of the quality employee, too.
At least with Scan & Go, they were in a noticeable place in, like, I mean, it's like self-checkout, essentially. Like, you know where to go. You still, even though they're not going through the actual line, they're able to, like, have a destination where they can clearly identify how you check out. I think they have to, especially if they're going to try to be in any form of competition with Amazon. They're going to have to go back to this. They won't.
Yeah, and let's go a little deep on this for a second, because I think you're bringing up an interesting, when you said the thing about their next plan is to like use the employee to walk the floor and do the checkout. The problem there is essentially that all of your data acquisition essentially comes from the point of checkout. Mm-hmm. And so what's great about Scan & Go or Amazon Go is you're actually watching the movement in the past and the choices of the consumers through that entire experience. Just like you are able to watch them on an e-commerce browser, right?
Sure.
Where you can see what pages they're looking at, what they're clicking on, what they're choosing to buy or not, put in their cart, et cetera. Mm-hmm. When you funnel everything to the point of checkout in terms of your data understanding, you lose all of that. And that's, if you're listening, like that's the part that doesn't make sense to me. If you want to open up your understanding of the consumer and really what's going on your sales floor. So I think, it just doesn't make sense to me. It's too early to give up the ship on that, in my opinion. So it sounds like you guys agree. All right, let's finish it up. This one's a little bit funny. As you guys, if you listen to the Fast Five, one of the stories I highlighted this week was Aldo. Yeah, no, Aldo, noted retailer in shoes. But Aldo created a shoe app to help people in terms of trying on shoes so that you could basically quickly push a button and ask for somebody to bring you a shoe. And I made the comparison to how that's a really bad experience, very similar to like getting your deli meat at a deli counter. So I ask you, the deli counter at the grocery store, is that a pleasure or a pain for you as a shopper?
I feel if I say anything different than a pain, I'll be
Is it a pleasure? I want to hear that story, Carter.
Have you? Okay.
I take arrows in the back on millennial every day, and you're worried about saying pleasure.
I
the deli counter, let's go there, please.
So I get you, right? If you have a line of people and you're at a busy grocery store at 5 o'clock and you're coming home from work, you have a hungry family at home, there's four people in front of you, someone goes, does that, fine. But have you been to the deli counter at the Whole Foods location, specifically in downtown here in Minneapolis?
Yeah.
The actual, and I will completely butcher, no pun intended, the words of who this guy is, but they're actually educated in the types of meat and they'll actually prepare and cut it for you. It's an entire customized experience. Right. So you can go up there and say, I want this, you know, X, Y, and Z, and this is what I'm going to do with it. Do you have any recommendations? And he'll say, or she'll say, 450 degrees for, you know, this long a time. Do you want me to cut it for you? And he's out there cutting it. They package it all for you, and there you go. And I was out in 3 minutes. Now, that was the one time I've ever been to a deli counter.
It was a pleasure experience the one time.
So I can't say I have a huge...
It's like that experiment in college.
Yeah.
Anyway, and go. I got too much.
Well, when I purchase meat from a chub, I prefer to. No, I agree.
It's pleasurable.
I agree.
Oh, God.
We were saying earlier. It's painful. I don't even stand there anymore. I honestly put in my order and like run around and come back. I don't even care if I have to come back and I grab the completely wrong thing unless it's ham. I would rather take that deli thing and not even care and just get out of there because it is a total pain. It's disgusting to me. I don't like when they hand me a slice to try. Like, yes, please let me eat this meat in front of all of these people waiting for their meat. But I do think like, so I was telling you earlier today, so BJ's Wholesale of all people, they've started a mobile app for your deli counter. So as soon as BJ's comes to Minneapolis, you don't have to worry about your Genoa salami problems anymore.
Yeah, this whole thing just baffles my mind, okay? Like, here we go. Like, you are literally paying payroll to have somebody stand and slice meat. If you did a statistical analysis on how differently people like the thinness of their meat. It can't be that different. Like, you can only slice something that differently, right?
I want to meet the guy that wants a number five.
And it's all it's all prepackaged to begin with. It's a chub of refrigerated meat, and it's all prepackaged to begin with. So can't we figure this out to make this more either prepackaged or more efficient? Please, somebody out there work on this, because I can't.
I feel like I'm on How Millennial Are You Again, but I'm the one on the other side who, like, doesn't know anything about what you guys are talking about. And I realize if I had to do this every day, that sounds horrible. Like, so I would agree, I guess.
It's my Costanza moment, I guess. My Larry David moment. All right. Well, hey, thanks for sticking with us. We got a little bit crazy there at the end, but that's what you can expect from us here at OmniTalk. As always, we appreciate you guys sticking with us. From Ann, Carter, myself, as always, be careful out there.